They're now known as the most lethal conventional submarines in the world. Not so long ago, though, they were nicknamed Beasley's Blunder and the Dud Subs. We're talking, of course, about the $6 billion 20-year project that delivered Australia six Collins-class submarines in 2003. In fact, they were delivered before then, but finally in this most lethal state in 2003. It was Australia's largest, most expensive and controversial military project. Later today, a remarkable warts-and-all official history of the project called the Collins-class submarine story, Steel, Spies and Spin, will be launched in Sydney by the former Labor leader, Kim Beazley. Kim Beazley was also, of course, Defence Minister who commissioned into operation the Collins-class submarines. He's now a professorial fellow in political science and international relations at the University of Western Australia, and he joins me in our Sydney studio. Kim Beazley, good morning.
Well, it's always lovely to be with you, Fran.
Thank you very much.
I'm getting out of the habit.
Yes, you are indeed. But, you know, let's just say we miss you. The sub you commissioned was a dud for a while before it was revamped. What are the lessons in this for Australian military hardware?
It was never a dud. God help people and objects caught up in the vortex of Australian political contest. The worst was read into the subs because it had a political flavour to it when I was leader of the opposition. And had I not been leader of the opposition, had I exited politics in 96, I think there would have been a much more balanced reception of it in the media and in the political process.
But the subs would have still been imperfect. I mean, it wasn't all invention. There were serious shortcomings highlighted in the McIntosh Prescott report.
Yeah, but this is the most complex industrial artefact this nation's ever produced. Compare and contrast the performance of the Australian sub with where Electric Boat was in the 1970s, and you'll see some of that in the book. Basically, Electric Boat, a long-term submarine producer, is effectively shut down with failure. And the Australians who've never produced a submarine, the most complex sea vessel to produce, actually managed to get it into the water only a few years late and only 20% over budget.
Sure, but if you go back to that 99 report, which looked at it, found instances of weakness in top management, in the basic understanding of the overall project, weaknesses in the necessary skills and competencies. As minister at the time, should you have foreseen some of that?
Well, no, you couldn't foresee that, obviously. I mean, basically, we were going out into a greenfields area in policy as well as in the area the submarine was produced. I am amazed, as I look back, that we actually did it. Because Australia has sort of lost a lot of confidence in its manufacturing industry processes, and this required a massive change in the culture of Australia and capacity and quality of Australian industry, which basically we delivered on. The McIntosh report certainly was highly critical of various features of management, but it also ticked off a lot of what had been achieved in relation to the submarine. And one of the problems we've always had in analysing it is an inability to get to grips with the fact that there are elements of the process which are a roaring success as well as problems. And sometimes you could not see the wood for the trees, and what was really an iceberg of problems with a bottom to the iceberg of achievement just got missed.
Well, Peter Yule and Derek Woolner, who wrote this book, they agree with you about the partisan politics. They say that the newly elected Howard government was prepared to destroy the Collins-class submarine project if that could help destroy you. Is that your recollection, and who do you pin that on most? John Moore was the first Howard government defence minister. Peter Reith had great fun with dud subs.
John Moore certainly wasn't of that view. He's more responsible. Reith was a completely irresponsible human being, and that was a feature of his brief advocacy of it. But sooner or later, they had to recognise, A, that when they actually sat down and saw the project was a good one, and B, we needed submarines. So they had to sort of turn round and actually do something about fixing any of the problems which are emerging. And the good thing about that is that the Liberal Party got ownership of it. And when you contemplate the fact that we need to now produce a new generation of submarines, it's a very good thing that it sort of emerged with a bipartisan tick.
What about the way Labor's performing in this same sort of area? Last month, the $1 billion Sea Sprite helicopter project was finally axed. Last week, Defence Minister Joel Fitzgibbon voiced serious concerns about the $8.4 billion Navy warship contract for the air warfare destroyers. He said it was, quote, one of the many things we've inherited from Brendan Nelson that keep me awake at night. Is Labor doing exactly what the Liberal Party did in playing politics with defence procurements?
No, we're not like that.
Well, that sounds a lot like that.
Well, I remember when I was defence minister, I discovered on coming into office that the combat radar of the F-18s didn't work against most of the aircraft in this country, couldn't identify them as a foe. I kept it secret. I didn't take it to the media, and I instead spent the next 5 years trying to fix it with the Americans. That's how patriots behave. And he is certainly not going through any process of demonisation of the Liberals that even remotely equates to their performance on the Collins-class submarine early. Subsequently, of course, their performance was better.
Kim Beazley, can I turn to politics now? If things had been different, you might have been Prime Minister of Australia after the last election. We'll never know, I guess. Kevin Rudd is off to China later today. He's announced in London that he won't meet the torch relay when it comes through Canberra. If you were Prime Minister, would you have? Is that the right decision by Kevin Rudd?
Oh, look, I think...
Do you understand that decision?
I think it gets it in appropriate perspective. This is a sporting event. I mean, I'm really sorry to see the way in which the torch relay has been treated. I have an old-fashioned view of the Olympics. It was originally conceived in the spirit of all warring stopping, warring of any description, and all various dissident parties getting together for an athletic contest. And I still think that's a useful spirit, and I wish it was applying now.
As you look on at the way the Rudd government is operating, what do you think about some of the concerns that some people are voicing about the centralised nature of the government? You yourself have said you'd be surprised if this government could keep the pace up, and as time goes by, the reins will loosen a bit and ministers will be allowed a more independent sphere of operation. Is the government too centrally controlled?
Well, look, I think they're trying to get a disciplined start, and that's not a bad thing. It also takes character, I think, from the Prime Minister, who's a very efficient administrator, and an administrator who likes to make sure he gets no surprises. Now, that leads to very tight management. It's not to say the ministers aren't happy. They are the happiest bunch of people, and I'm so glad to see them happy.
They're pretty exhausted.
Because they've had 11 miserable years. Yeah, well, I can
but
do
so
it.
But so are some of their staffers and their bureaucrats. Is Kevin Rudd in danger of running them ragged?
That can't be sustained over time. But in terms of establishing the badge of the government, if you like, and its direction, not a bad thing to be intensely managed at this point.
Kim Beazley, last week former Minister Peter McGoran announced he was quitting politics. We're yet to hear the plans of the former Treasurer Peter Costello or Foreign Minister Alexander Downer. You sat on the backbenches for quite a while after losing the leadership. Have Downer and Costello earned that privilege for the time being? Should they go? Should they stay? What's your view?
They should stay, and so should have McGoran. I mean, quite frankly, you go to the electorate on the basis that you'll serve your 3-year term, and that's what you should do. There are only two exceptions to my mind, and that is somebody who has a government appointment which is incompatible with a membership of parliament, such as an appointment as an ambassador or something like that. So they're going to serve the nation in some other capacity. Or you're a prime minister. I think a special licence applies to prime ministers if they cease to hold that top job. But ministers, ex-ministers, should stay. It means eating a bit of humble pie and going through a bit of boredom. But that's what you owe your party and the country. And McGoran should have stayed.
You've moved on from politics, looking at politics from the sidelines. Are you pretty envious of Kevin Rudd's approval ratings? Today's news poll shows Kevin Rudd 73, Brendan Nelson 9.
Yeah, well... Just shows you how good I was, which people tend to forget. We never got down to those levels. Look, I always used to say when I was leader of the opposition, and it is true, what you've got to focus on is not preferred prime ministers, preferred managers of the economy or whatever. You've got to look at the only thing there which is really relevant, and that's the two-party preferred vote. And the problem for Brendan Nelson is this. The election result was 53-47 Labor, and it's now 59-41. That 6% shift is Brendan Nelson's problem, and that's his challenge, and I suspect it's a challenge he can't meet.
And meanwhile, just finally, what's life like for you on the sidelines?
Well, it's different. It's not as exciting as it was, but it has its satisfactions.
Kim Beazley, thanks very much for joining us on Breakfast.
Good to be with you.
Kim Beazley, former Labor leader, of course, and former Defence Minister. Now, Professor Beazley, and this afternoon he'll be officially launching the book, The Collins-Class Submarine Story, Steel, Spies and Spin, at Sydney's Maritime Museum. It's 9 minutes to 8.
Breakfast with Fran Kelly on ABC Radio National around Australia.